As we come to God's word today, we're going to continue in the Gospel of Mark in the first chapter. And this week it was great. I had the opportunity to sit down and read the text and read God's word together with two of our pastoral interns, Dean Choi and Nelson Steinert. And so neat just to sit in that moment and realize that as the people of God, the word comes to us, not only as individuals, but it comes to the whole community. And so we pray this morning that the word of God would dwell richly in all of us as one body, as we listen to God's word together. So we're gonna turn now to chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, just two verses today in Mark on the temptation of Jesus. Now hear God's word. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite movies is 127 Hours. It came out about 10 years ago, and it tells this story of this very adventurous young man, Aaron Ralston. And in the beginning of the movie, we see Aaron in his apartment getting ready to take off on this big adventure in Canyonlands National Park, and specifically Blue John Canyon. And so we see him grabbing his Camelback water bottle, filling up water bottles in the sink, grabbing an orange, a couple Gatorades from the refrigerator, grabbing a white bag of leftovers, and just anything he can take for this journey, putting on his light jacket. And so it's one evening, Friday in April of 2003, that he goes out and he parks his car outside of Canyonlands, and he is getting ready to go into Canyonlands the next morning on his mountain bike. And Aaron has made the critical mistake of not telling anybody where he went. So note to all of you, if you're going somewhere on a backpacking trip, always tell someone where you are going. It was a critical mistake that Aaron made. But Aaron's going out into the wilderness, and it reminds me of this text in Mark that we have here. It's the similar feeling of Jesus, who's just been baptized in the Jordan River, and he is now going out into the Judean desert. And this desert lies east of Jerusalem. It drops into the Dead Sea, and it has its own canyons, its own ravines there in the Judean desert, and some of these plummet to a depth of 1,200 feet. And one person I read on TripAdvisor asked the question, is the Judean desert safe? And another person responds, well, there are the possible dangers of falling tragically to your death, and less seriously, getting lost and or dehydrated. So it's a dangerous place that Jesus is going out into. And then there are these torrential flash floods that can happen at a moment that can overflow the wadis or the riverbeds. And these floods take lives to this day. And then the text tells us that there are these wild beasts out there that Mark mentions. Now, it's interesting. Matthew and Luke both have this story recorded. Much more detail, much more dialogue. But Mark is the only one who mentions that Jesus was with the wild beasts. It's so descriptive. It's so wild. And Jesus, it's believed that even at that time, lions and bears lived in the Judean desert. So there was a real physical danger here for Jesus going out into the wilderness. And there's this painting that I want you to see on your screen here. It's on our bulletin cover, but it captured my imagination this week by the painter Henry Ossawa Tanner in 1897 and 1900. And it just shows you that what this desert might look like through the eyes of Jesus. It's wild, it's treacherous, it's lonely, it's dry. And I'm kind of miffed by this story, because it seems like Jesus is going out into the desert completely unprepared, completely unequipped. He has no Camelback water pack on him. He has no Gatorade bottles. He has no titanium walking poles, no REI ultralight tent, not even a hunting rifle. It could be that Jesus had no time to pack. I don't know. It says that the Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness. Matthew and Luke are a little more gentle in their description that Jesus was led, almost like invited out into the desert. But here in Mark, it says the Spirit drove him out. It's really the same word used when Jesus is driving out an evil spirit. This is a decision that not even Jesus is making. He's just being called out into the desert. And he doesn't have any time to pack for this. And I don't even know if he had any time to tell anybody where he was going. And I was just thinking, I mean, imagine how worried his mother Mary must have been. I mean, if he's going out 40 days, 40 nights, completely unprepared, imagine how worried his mother must have been of him at this time. And he is going out into the wilderness completely unequipped. Or is he? Is he really unequipped? And I wondered about us this week. I wondered, are we equipped for the wilderness? You know, we are 6 months now into this historic, wild, wilderness-like experience. None of us asked for this. When March came, when we were sheltered in place, coronavirus, and then racial unrest and the political polarization, and then recently the very unhealthy air quality that we've been breathing. We are in a wilderness-like experience, and it made me wonder, are we equipped for this? Because all of this, if we're honest, is very exhausting. If you do a quick search on Google, you'll see UCLA, you'll see John Hopkins University talking about pandemic fatigue. And some experts are beginning to argue that one of our next big challenges after facing COVID will be to flatten the mental health curve, that it's taken a toll on all of us. It's hard. It is wilderness-like experience. And are we equipped? 2020 has been a lot to take in. I think we can all acknowledge that. I found now you can get these political signs and that political script or a t-shirt with a graphic that says Giant Meteor 2020, as if Giant Meteor is running for president. And then it says, just end it already. I mean, we're talking about what else can happen here. But it's a gift when we can laugh a little bit through this. But this kind of contemporary wilderness that we're in right now, we don't know exactly how long it's going to last. But this kind of terrain, this kind of contemporary terrain helps us find our place here in Mark's story with Jesus and asking the question, am I equipped for the wilderness? And what I want to just talk about for a few minutes here is that Jesus, though he took nothing out with him on this journey, we're going to see a few things that really were his equipping, were his nourishment in the wilderness. What I find so captivating in Mark's account here in Jesus' temptation is the simplicity of Mark's writing. It's just two verses. Like I said, Matthew and Luke have more extensive dialogue, but there's no rich dialogue in Mark. It's just this theological imagery of the wilderness, of wild beasts, of Satan coming to tempt him. But I want you to see really what comes before these two verses. And these are the verses that we heard last week as Pastor Tim preached. And you may need to take your Bible out for you to see this. Do it now or do it later this week. But you need to see what comes before Jesus being driven out into the wilderness. So Jesus, we see, is in the Jordan River, and he's coming up out of the water, and he sees the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and this voice comes down from heaven, and it says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And these are some of my favorite verses in all of the New Testament. And what I want to point out to us first and foremost is that Jesus was equipped for the wilderness with the affirmation of his identity. The affirmation of Jesus's identity that he was God's beloved Son. And the Father's posture and demeanor toward him was one of delight, one of pleasure. And this is a powerful truth in Jesus's life. These words are linked back to the prophet Isaiah. It's so interesting. Listen to this in Isaiah 42:1, how closely this resembles the Mark passage. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit on him." You see, hundreds of years previous, the prophet Isaiah is promising that one will come who has the Spirit on him, who is chosen, who is the one who the Father delights in. How amazing is that, that we see that in Isaiah. And so what I want to point out first and foremost is that Jesus, he's not walking into the wilderness without nothing. He's walking in with this banner over his life that says, "This is my Son. I am well pleased with him, my beloved." This is the Father's true heart towards Jesus. And in Jesus Christ, this is the Father's true heart for you and for me. That this is the banner of identity that we walk into the wilderness with. You see that no matter what Jesus faces, the temptations, Satan's accusations, Jesus was carried all throughout this wilderness experience by this deeper truth that he was the beloved and he was in relationship to the Father. And I think this is so crucial for us to really sink into every fiber of our being, young and old, men and women, to saturate ourselves that we are God's beloved. This is our true identity. Before we try to achieve anything for God, before we start listening to the self-accusations or the accusations of the enemy or comparing ourselves and value and worth to others, we have in our fiber of our being the belovedness and that we belong to God. And so I don't think it's any accident that Matthew and Mark both put this same picture of Jesus's baptism right before he's driven into the wilderness. Jesus is going to need to live from this identity. And I love what Henry Nouwen says here. He says, "Every time you listen with great attentiveness to the voice that calls you the beloved, you will discover within yourself a desire to hear that voice longer and more deeply. It is like discovering a well in the desert. Once you have touched wet ground, you want to dig deeper." And so first and foremost, what equips Jesus and what equips us for the wilderness is our identity as the beloved. And I've been practicing this every morning. And I say practice because you all know very well that even as your head is on the pillow, as you wake up, you're thinking about the to-do list of things you didn't accomplish yesterday or things still need to be accomplished today. Maybe there's burdens or there's cares that even hit you right there as you wake up. And I've just begun practicing to say to myself, "I am God's beloved. And he is pleased with my life." And to allow that truth to carry me into each day. And I want to encourage you as the church here in Hollywood to allow this truth to carry you into this time of wilderness, just like it did for Jesus. Secondly, I think we see here that Jesus, he was also equipped, and these are all very related, Jesus' belovedness and what I'll say here, but the presence of God was with Jesus. It says that the Spirit of God was with him and the angels were attending him, that he wasn't alone out there. He was in solitude, but the Spirit of God was with him. The angels were even coming to him. And so he's equipped with the Spirit and the presence of God. And the angels coming to him, that's going to remind us this word wilderness of the Old Testament story, right? The book of Exodus and the angel who guides and helps Israel through the wilderness. You remember passages like Exodus 14, 19 that tell us that the angel of God was going before the Israelite army. And then as they were right to approach the Red Sea, the angel comes behind them to protect them and guard them from Pharaoh's army. And then later in Exodus 23:20, it says that God will send an angel in front of you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. So throughout the Holy Scriptures, when God sent his people out into the wilderness, he didn't send them alone. He equipped them with the Spirit of God, with his very presence. We'll remember also that Elijah, when he was fleeing Jezebel and he was running for his life and he was scared and panicking on his way to Mount Horeb, his wandering through the desert, God's presence was with Elijah through an angel of the Lord and literally nourishing him with a cake that was baked on hot stones and a jar of water. Hot cake in the desert. I mean, that sounds so good, but this was the nourishment that God was giving Elijah with his very presence. It says he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. And so although God leads Jesus into this testing of the wilderness, God does not abandon Jesus. He does not leave him unequipped, because this word for attended, the angels attended him, it tells us that the angels were more present to him throughout his whole journey, not just that they showed up at the very end, but they were with him, attending to him, giving him the presence of God. You know, one way for me that throughout my whole life that I've really experienced the presence of God in a unique way is just by worshiping, by pulling my guitar out and singing and worshiping. And I was just over the weekend reflecting on this and working on some things and just taking my guitar out and sitting in the presence of God, and how much of an equipping that has been in my own life. And so I know there's things like that for you, whether it's worship or being in God's word, but just saturating yourself in the presence of God for your equipping in the wilderness. So lastly, we see that God doesn't leave Jesus unequipped in the wilderness, because if we look at Matthew, we see that Jesus had the word of God with him. Every time that Satan came to Jesus and tempted him and tested him, Jesus had the word of God in his hands. He had it in his heart and his mind. We have it in our hands. But this was the sword of the Spirit, in a sense, for Jesus. This was the way that he responded, the way that he saturated himself in the presence of God, to be in the Word of God, facing every testing that Satan brought his way. And so as we look back on this and we ask the question, was Jesus unequipped for this? We have to see, no. He was completely equipped. And this banner over him of his belovedness and his identity walking into the wilderness, the very presence of God meeting him each day, and the fact that he had the scripture in his heart to be able to face testing and temptation. All of these things tell us that Jesus was equipped for the wilderness. This was his nourishment in the wilderness. And in Jesus Christ, these are the things that equip us for this wilderness. I was reminded this week of a hike I took up to Yosemite and Half Dome. This was before we had kids. My wife and I took a trip up to Half Dome. And many of you know this is a very rigorous journey. It's about 17 miles round trip, and I think about 4,800 feet of incline. And I thought that I had taken enough water for this journey. I drink a lot of water, and I thought I had taken enough. And so we get to the very top of Half Dome, and I have my camel back out, and I'm taking in the view, and it's just gorgeous. And I come back, and literally I see a squirrel at the top of Half Dome drinking water out of my camelback straw. I couldn't believe it. So the rest of the story I'm going to partly blame on the squirrel at the top of Half Dome. But as we walked back down, I realized I don't think I've brought enough water for this journey. I don't think I've equipped myself enough. And so literally all I had left was an apple. And my wife and I are sharing an apple just to extract any liquid we could going down the rest of this hike. And we got about halfway down toward the Merced River. And it was a little stop. And I mean, the river is just bubbling, clear, cold water. And you're told you can't drink the water, so it's just there in front of your eyes. And there's folks who've been prepared and they're dropping their tablets of water and their Nalgenes and they're drinking. And I'm panicking. I'm like, this is not good. And so I literally go up to these two young women and I'm pleading with them. I ask them, can I buy a tablet of water, a tablet of purification, so I can drop this in my water? And by the grace of God, they said, you can have two tablets. And so for a couple hours, my wife and I sat by the Merced River and we dipped our bottles into that cold river and dropped the tablets in there. And we dunked our heads in this cold river. We put our feet in and we laid on this warm rock in the sun, being refreshed and equipped in the middle of what was like a wilderness experience. And it reminds me that this is what God does for us in the wilderness, that he equips us with our identity in him, our belovedness. He equips us with the refreshment of his spirit. And he gives us the scriptures that sit with us and live in us. And all of this is nourishment for our souls in the midst of the wilderness. So I want to encourage you with this today, that if you are wondering, when will this end? When will this wilderness-like experience end? Find yourself with Jesus in this text. When you ask yourself, am I equipped? Know that God's response is, yes, you are equipped because I have equipped you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for your word. It is rich, even two verses, God, we can't even plumb the depths of all that you have for us. But we pray now as your church that you would put your Holy Spirit upon each of us, within each of us. God, that we would live from this place of our belovedness, that we would experience your presence. God, that we would be strengthened in your scriptures. Let all this be nourishment and equipping for our souls. We pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.